All right, Moshe. So tonight we're gonna do a really beautiful piece by the Baal HaTanya. We're gonna do it right. Everyone should feel free. By the way, whoever wants to come sit, like go around. You could. Okay. I'm in everyone's personal space as well. But if anyone would like. All right. So we're gonna do a beautiful piece, David Schwartz. You have this. David, you know you want to come up here. You know you don't want to sit in back. So come on. So let's go. All right. So Moshe. So we're gonna do a very beautiful piece tonight by the Baal HaTanya. And this actually, it's funny, I saw this piece quoted in a different sefer, and then it just happens to be that I came across it today. Ramesh also, like in this sefer, which is a compilation of the Baal HaTanya's Torah on Elul Yom Noram. So look what he writes over here. He says, Ki bayom hazeh, yichaper aleichem, litar eschem mikol chatoseichem lifnei Hashem titar. So again, so this is a beautiful piece. Actually, hopefully, if we have time, we're going to do a little bit of Rav Kook also. Oh, I feel very bad, you know, like nice. We started Rav Kook during, when did we start? Rav Chodesh Elul?
Yeah.
Rav Chodesh Elul. And then the truth is, I totally misgauged that,
or
like...
Or it's a tshuva, right?
Right, or it's a tshuva, but I totally misgauged that by the time... The week before Hashanah comes around, there's already no time for anything because all we have time for is the daf before davening. So I felt like I was all excited to do Oras HaTshuva through, like, if Slicha's gotten away. Yeah, that's not my quote, that's David Schwartz. Right? But I'm saying, yeah, but Slicha's did get a little bit of the way. All right, so hopefully tonight we'll get a little bit of Rav Kook also, because we're going to see there's some tremendous overlap here. So look at the Rebbe writes. Ki bayom hazeh yechaper aleichem. So what's this? So again, just so you understand how this is set up over here. This is Chassidus Mevu Eres. So the Baal HaTanya's primary Torah is up here, and then the Perush is on the bottom. We're going to be just going through, we're going to be learning it through the Perush. So he says as follows. Ki bayom hazeh yechaper aleichem litar eschem mikol chatoseichem lifnei Hashem titaru. So this is the Pasuk by Yom Kippur. Parashas Achrimos. For on this day, I will atone for you, to purify you from all of your sins. Before Hashem, you shall be purified. So he says, Lahavin, Kefal Haloshon Letaher Vititaru. So I just want to also point out over here, what the Rebbe is going to do is he's going to raise a number of questions, but he's actually only going to address one of them over the course of this particular piece. But just the questions are interesting nevertheless. So number one, why the double lashon of Letaher and titaru? Ki bayom hazeh yechaper aleichem, on this day Hashem will atone for you, litaher, to purify you, mikol chatoseichem, from all of your sins, lifnei Hashem titaru, before Hashem you shall be purified. So why does it have to say litaher will purify you, and titaru you will be purified? Why the double lashon? Furthermore, let's see, I also just point out something very interesting. Rabbi Soloveitchik has a beautiful piece on this pasuk, where the Rav asks a different question. He says, the pasuk, if you notice, says Yom Kippur does two things. Ki bayom hazeh yechaper aleichem, right? On this day you will be atoned for. Litaher eschem, to purify you. So Rabbi Soloveitchik says, what's the difference between kapara and tara? Now often we use them synonymously. It just means like purification, right? Atonement, purification, all the same thing. Rabbi Soloveitchik says they're two very different things. And the Rav says something very beautiful, which I think is a very profound insight just into the nature of tshuva. So Rabbi Soloveitchik explains that every sin, every chait, generates two byproducts. Sin creates onesh. Every sin creates liability for punishment. And this is important to understand. There is no sin without punishment. Right? After all, the Gemara says, whoever says that God just overlooks anything, let his inside spill out, which means it's not good. Right? In other words, you know. So like, the Gemara says that Kodesh Baruch Hu is willing to forgive, but just understand, every single Avera comes with liability. And by the way, this makes a lot of sense. What's one of the things that we teach our children? First thing we teach our children? Okay, second thing we teach our children, right? Consequences. Behaviors have consequences. In fact, one of the worst things that parents do is threaten and don't carry through. Because if you threaten and you don't carry through, then what you're teaching your children is you could get away from erroneous behavior without consequences. Now, that doesn't mean there's not room for forgiveness. We'll get to that in just a moment. But this is incredibly important. Every chait, every sin, by definition, has an onesh. So whenever you sin, there's a punishment. Where the punishment comes on is a different session. There's a punishment. But with chait, Rabbi Soloveitchik says, chait also creates tumah. It creates impurity. When I sin, by definition, I defile myself. When I sin, I fundamentally chip away at my holiness. There's a tumah. There's literally an impurity that is created from sin. Steph Rabbi Soloveitchik says something so beautiful. He says, you know what the power of Yom Kippur is? Ki ba yom hazeh yichaper aleichem metar eschem. Kapara, atonement, is the process through which punishment is removed. Kapara, atonement, takes away onesh. Tara takes away tuma, impurity. The power of Yom Kippur is that it removes both levels of sin liability, both the punishment as well as the impurity, which just, so you understand the profundity of the day. And by the way, to compound that, so that I'm a Hilchos Tshuva quotes the position of Rebbe, even though the Gemara doesn't paskin this way, but Rebbe paskins Itzumo Shel Yom Mechaper, that the essence of the day itself atones, which means if you eat your suda before Yom Kippur and you go to sleep. Some people do this at home, some people do this in shul, right? You know. So you're right to eat, you come, you go to sleep, and you wake up in time for Havdalah, I must say Yom Kippur. You sleep 24 hours, 25 hours. So have you experienced the Yom Kippur?
Yes.
Right? So Rebbe holds, yes. Rebbe actually holds in the Gemara that the day itself atones for you no matter what you do. You dive in, you don't dive in, as long as you fast.
It's on a very basic level. I think we spoke about this once before. I'd ask, like, so the guy who plugs away in shul and does real tshuva gets a higher level.
Of course. Yeah. It's not, in other words, there's not one kapara for right. all. Right. There's different levels. But just to understand the profundity of this, there was Salvation pointing out that the power of Yom Kippur, and I suppose say, like, you know, we often think to ourselves, like, Yom Kippur would be so much better if it just had a cup of coffee, right? All I need is just, I don't even need a food, just like one cup of coffee in the morning, right? And what this day could be. But that's because we think that the power of the day is fundamentally rooted in our ability to connect to it. And what we don't realize is that the power of the day is based on our ability to lean into it. Whether I'm awake and running on all cylinders or not, obviously the goal is to be connected. But that's not actually how Yom Kippur works. Yom Kippur doesn't need to be activated by me. Yom Kippur, by definition itself, is just fundamentally on. And the day itself has the power to remove all punishment and has the power to remove all tuma. Okay, so the Baal Taga goes on. He says, number one, why the double lashon of Tara? Right, litayer and vititaro, and then he says something very interesting. The tzarich levayer, in aser sinichuba, v'lamo hukvu asara yamim dafka. Then he asks, why are there 10 days of repentance? Obviously, that number is not random. Right, Hashem Baruch Hu made it that between Hashanah and Yom Kippur are 10 days. Why 10 days? In fact, again, you know, if anything, if you're looking for a classic biblical number, it would be
seven.
So I had to go to the dentist today. And the hygienist is a very devout Christian woman, and she was asking me all these questions. It's actually fascinating. She very 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 firm woman. She lights Shabbos candles. That's her thing. So she's asking me all of these questions about sukkahs, about this, that. I'm like, I just want to get out of this chair. I just really want to get out of this chair. Call me. We'll set up an appointment. I'm happy to talk with you about Judaism. I just want to get out of this right now. But it was fascinating because she was saying, oh, I see everything in Judaism is seven. Seven. And she said, like, I assume that means that that's the correlation to that is always creation. Said, yeah, 100%. That's what's unique, right? That's why whenever you see something that's outside of the seven, there's always something unique. Chanukah, right? Shemini Atzeres, right? Bris Milah. So whenever you get to eight and beyond, there's always something else going on. So the Baal Tanya says, why are there 10 days of tshuva? Why 10? Okay, like I said, he's not going to answer that question tonight. He says, v'hayom hazeh, hu yom ha'asir yichaper aleichem, v'lo kol zman she'osim tshuva, ha'yitzarach she'yumcha lehem miyad. Now, here the Baal Tanya asks a fascinating question. He says, furthermore, when do the 10 days of repentance, the Saras Mitzvah, like when does it reach its apex? Right? When does it reach its pinnacle? Ultimately, Yom Kippur. But why? Why do I have to wait 10 days in order to reach the pinnacle of tshuva? After all, again, when could a yid do tshuva? When can you do tshuva?
Right.
Anytime you want. Anytime. The Rambam even writes that explicitly in the Hilchos Tshuva. You could do tshuva anytime you want. So the Baal Tanya say, I don't understand, like, So what is it exactly about these 10 days, and why is it dafka on Yom Kippur that somehow you're reaching this apex of tshuva? And he writes as follows. He skipped down a little bit. He says, Acha inyanhu. He explains as follows. This is going to be, I'm telling you, probably one of the most beautiful things, if you haven't heard it already, that you will hear in your entire life. Look what he writes. Acha inyanhu, ki inyan atshuva, hu lahashiv panim bepanim elav yisbarach. This is so beautiful. What's tshuva? Tshuva is turning face to face with Hashem. Panim al panim. It's turning face. Now, what does that mean? He says, I'm in the right-hand paragraph on the bottom, all the way on the bottom, about four lines up. Tochen ha'inyan ha'tshuva hu. The Rebbe says the essence of tshuva is sha'adam yeh bebechinas panim bepanim im HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The essence of tshuva is to be face-to-face with Hashem. Face-to-face with Hashem. Ki halo ha'tshuva hu lashuva l'iskayu l'av yisbarach. What's the essence of tshuva? You know, we'll say, we mention this all the time. We translate tshuva as repentance. Right, but that's not etymologically correct, right? The lashon of tshuva really is what? Return. Return to what?
A clean soul.
So really, interestingly enough, the first time we find the word, v'shafta in the Torah, right? The first time we find the word teshuvah is actually by the Navi Shmuel. The Navi Shmuel was actually quite literally the first circuit judge. And what he would do is, because right, Shmuel had this dual identity. He was both the Shofet, the judge, and the Navi and the prophet. So what Shmuel would do is something very interesting. Shmuel would actually travel the entire land. And as he would bring the law to the people, didn't make the people come to him. And the Lashon of the Navi is, Uteshuvaso haramasa. Shmuel lived in the north of Eretz Yisrael, the Ramah, when he would return, Shuvaso haramasa. So really, the most beautiful understanding of tshuva is that tshuva is a return home. To return home. Where's home? So most basically we'll have a home in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because like the Bala Tanya, remember again, we saw this in Tanya. You know, I think we got through the first four lines of Tanya, right? But we started this and we said, what does the Bala Tanya say? That every Yid has a soul. And what's the Neshama? Chelek Eloka Mima'al Mamish. It is literally a piece of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a piece of Hashem in me, which means I come from the heavens. That's where we come from. People say it's one of the most beautiful things that often we forget. You know, like, where are you from? I'm from New York. No, you're not from New York. You're not from New York. Right? At the end of the day, I'm from Shamayim. That's where I'm from. I come from the heavens. I come from underneath the Kisei HaKavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I come from Hashem. That's where I come from. I am a spark. I am a piece from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, the lesson of tshuva is a return home. Where's home? Home is where your God is. Home is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. So the essence of tshuva ultimately is a return to home, which means a return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's what the Baal Tanya says. The essence of tshuva is to come back to return and to come close to Hashem. Left-hand paragraph on the bottom. Well, l'chora, this is beautiful. L'chora, lo shayach lashon zeh l'gabi HaKadosh Baruch Hu d'chsiv bei es ha'shamayim ve'es ha'aretz animale. Now, here's the problem. God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is everywhere, right? The notion of distancing yourself from someone or something means that what? In other words, there's something that occupies a certain space and I could remove myself from that space, right? So I could disassociate from another person because, you know, Steve is over here and I could choose to move my chair back and I could choose to go into a different room and we're separate. But the Baal Tanya says, how can you separate yourself from Hashem? How does that happen? He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere. He's everywhere. So what does this mean that somehow there's a distance between me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Like, just practically, how does that occur? How do you distance yourself from an entity that is everywhere? It doesn't seem possible. And all, but he says, why do I have to come back and be close? Because after all, how was I ever able to distance myself? It's such a fascinating, like, theological question. If I accept the premise, which of course we do, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere and in everything. That's why at the end of the day, I can't get away from him. Right, I can't. There's
one can choose to ignore it.
But that's different than distance. In other words, right. I could close my eyes to something, right. But even if I close, right, if I close my eyes, you're still here. I don't see you. But the proximity is there. The Baal Tanya is just asking, on the lashon of tshuva, tshuva means I've gone away from something and now I'm returning. How is it that you distance yourself from something that is everywhere? I'm sorry? But even, avera distance. But here he's saying, he's asking on a mechanistic level. If Hashem is everywhere, where are you going? That's your distance from him.
In a way, the punishment is more than just a physical punishment. There is an emotional and there is a psychological punishment for every avera that we do. Therefore, why do I have to suffer so much for committing a sin? Well, it's, what is the sin? It's the frequency of committing it because it may become a habit. It permeates the soul from one time to many, therefore affecting all three of those things more intensely. So we really become tomei.
Right.
All over. Not just physically.
Right.
Spiritually. Inside. Do we know how to remove that?
So you're saying good, 100%. But the Baal Tanya is asking a simpler question. He's just asking just a mechanistic question. If something is everywhere, how are you ever distanced from it? There's logic. I'm sorry. So that's not distance. That's me closing my eyes. That's me closing my eyes. So like I said, I could close my eyes so I don't see Steve, but Lamais, I'm not far from him. I'm not far, but he's still there. So Baal Tanya is just saying, how does it shtim? In other words, the notion that I distance myself from HaKadosh Baruch Hu with my negative behavior, yes, with the Tum and everything, but yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere. So what exactly is the nature of the distance? He's just asking, it's just a fascinating point to ponder about how the notion of distance acquires or occurs with something that occupies every piece of finite and infinite space. Look what he said.
That's a rhetorical question.
I'm sorry?
Yeah.
We'll see.
How can?
Correct. It does. Correct. So that we'll see. So look what he writes. He says, listen to this. He says, Teves tshuva, himilashon shiva. So obviously, the lashon of tshuva, as we just said before, is lashon of return. Sha'adam tsarach lashon v'lachzer hainu liskari v'lashem. V'hinei, pashit, shekirav v'richok eitzel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ein mashma'am b'muvan makom gashmi. So obviously, the notion of physical closeness or distance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot, or I should say differently, the concept of closeness or distance from Hashem cannot be understood in a physical way. Because there is no physical way to distance yourself from God. It's not possible. Why? Shahari hu yisbarach nimtza b'chol makom. Because Hashem is everywhere. So because Hashem is everywhere, there is no physical way to separate yourself from God. Ve'im kein, listen to how beautiful this is. Tamid nimtza'im b'kiruv makom el Hashem yisbarach. These might be the most beautiful words I've ever read in my entire life. A Jew is always close to Hashem. A Jew, so I just want to point out, just a Jew is always close to Hashem. Now, this goes against much of what we learn in classic tshuva literature. Classic tshuva literature is when you sin, what do? You create distance. Again, even better say like tumah. Again, I'll say, remember the notion of tumah. What happens when you're tummy? What happens when you're tummy? Tumah 101, what happens?
Separation.
The first thing, what did you say?
Dirty.
Dirty, right. But I'm saying, but what's the effect? The effect is separation, mm-hmm. Right? That's, Tumah always engenders a sense of separation, right? The Baal HaTanya says something so beautiful. He says, but it's not possible. You can't be separated from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not possible because the Ribono Shel Olam occupies every bit of space. So therefore, by definition, you're never far from Hashem. It's the lashon of, he says, Imkein tamid nimtza'im bikiruv makom al Hashem yisbarach. We are always in close proximity to Hashem. V'afshar lehisrachek mimenu. and ultimately it is impossible to be distant from Hashem. Haynu she'HaKadosh Baruch Hu meruchak min ha'adam. It is impossible that Hashem is distant from us, and that we are distant from Him. I will say, even before we go on, is it not worth it just to read those beautiful words? Right? That no matter what I do in life, it is impossible for me to be distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
So how does that contend with we hear different places that Yaver Sobeda Hashem has distanced Himself from the individual?
It's not about the Baal Tanya will say that that is a theologically incorrect statement.
Okay, so now.
That is a theological, that does not happen. Now, let's see what does happen. Because obviously, something happens, right? When a person sins, something does occur. So what does occur? Well, this is so beautiful. He says, Ella, this is the most beautiful piece I have seen. And just, I don't know, I'm very inspired by it. Ella, inyon hu, kemashal beiz b'nei adam, sha'omdim ze eitzel ze. So look at his mashal. He says, you could compare it to two people who are standing next to each other. Virak, Shecholzim Oref Zemizah. So say, imagine the following. You have two people, Reuven and Shimon. And Reuven and Shimon are standing next to each other, but only one thing. They're standing back to back. Back to back. So he says, Ein Lecha Richok Gadol Mizah. So on one hand, what's incredible? Reuven and Shimon, are they close to each other? Yeah. But they have absolutely no connection to one another. Right? Why not? Because Reuven's looking east and Shimon's looking west. Right? So they're literally back to back, but they can't see each other. They're, right? There's no like ocular interaction with one another. They're back to back, and the only way for them to connect, ve'en kirov. How do they connect? Ve'en kirov ella bachzaras panim apanim. Face to face. The only way. So what you hear the Baal Tanya saying? You could be so close to something, but yet so far. Reuven and Shimon are standing back to back. They're practically touching, but they don't see each other. And they might even be fundamentally unaware that the other is right here. But yet something amazing happens. A slight turn. If they just both turn a little bit, then suddenly, panim al panim. Suddenly they're standing face to face. And the Rebbe says as follows: Ela inyan harichok lemaylo, who kimashal adam hamomid bikirov makom lechaveiro ela shovech arpa elav. So therefore, the Rebbe says as follows: the notion of our distance from Hakadosh Baruch Hu is like two people standing back to back. Sheein kan richok makom gashmi, ela richok nafshi atzum. This is incredible. Reuven and Shimon, when they stand back to back, there is no physical distance between them. But often there could be a tremendous emotional gap between them, right? They have no shaychas with each other because at the end of the day, they're standing back there right next to each other. But at the end of the day, there's no connection. He goes on, he says, Inyan hachzaras panim al panim lefi tochino aruchni hu lo rak mitzad ha'adam v'chasher chote hari hu kimo shechzir of arpa l'Hashem ela gam mitzad ha'kadosh baruch hu kivyachol. Then here's what's incredible. You see, in the Baal HaTanya's mashal, so what happens during sin? And this is incredibly important. What happens when a yid sins? What am I effectively doing? Right? My natural disposition is I'm panim al panim to Hashem. That's the default. The default setting is I'm face to face with God. What happens when I sin? What do? I turn away. And the Baal HaTanya says, the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, if you're going to turn away, I'm also going to turn away. But here's the incredible part. Even when I turn away from him, and he in turn turns away from me, what's the most incredible thing? We're back to back. Physically, there's no distance. We're right there. And the only thing that I need to do is turn myself around back to him. And as soon as I'm ready to turn back around, he's ready to turn back around to me. And again, you see with Baal Tanya, that's tshuva. Tshuva is not this long, arduous journey back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tshuva is just simply turning around. Turning around. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is right here. He's literally right here. You see, we so often have this conception of like, Hashem is, as a result of my negative behaviors, Hashem is in some faraway destination, and now tshuva is the long, arduous spiritual trek to get back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And let's say, I want to tell you something. Do you know why most of us aren't really successful in our tshuva? Do you know why? I guess you know, it's a bunch of tzaddikim. I'll tell you why. I'm not a tzaddik. I failed at tshuva many, many, many times. I'll tell you why. Because we get so exhausted thinking about the journey. Forget about taking it. I'm so exhausted about thinking about the journey that I'm like, you know what? Forget it. I don't actively say forget it. It's just more like a little bit of like passive aggressive, just giving up on it. Because we think that it's such a far trek. And the Baal HaTanya says, what are you talking about? Hashem is right here. He never left your side. He's like, okay, you turned your back on him. So by the way, you know what happens? You know how sometimes, like, in certain relationships, perhaps, you know, you may give people the silent treatment, right? Never a good idea. But let's say you do it. Whenever you give someone the silent treatment, what do you always expect? Mamish is such a group of tzaddikim. It's incredible, right? What I hope for is that the other person is going to come running after me. Right? I'm not talking. I'm regular. I'm upset, and the other person is going to say, "Oh, so upset! Come running after me." Except sometimes that doesn't happen, right? And what ends up happening, that's what you're going to do. You're going to give me the silent treatment, right? That's how we're going to interact. Okay, sure. Right? That's what you want to do. Fine, that's what we'll do. You turn your back to me, I'll turn your back to you. Only because if you're not interested, I can't be more interested in the relationship than you are. Relationship is only created between two interested parties. And if one party is highly interested and one party is highly uninterested, ain amal daber. There's nothing to talk about. There's no relationships. Chesh Baruch Hu says, you're going to do your thing and you're going to sin and you're going to turn your back to me. I love you. I'm not going anywhere, but I'll turn my back to you also. So the Baal HaTanya says we spend extended amounts of time back to back with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, wondering, where did God go? How do I get back? And meanwhile, Chesh Baruch Hu says, hello, I'm here. Just turn around. He goes on. V'hine, v'kach. Hine k'siv, v'ra'isa sacharai, o'panai lo yero. Sheesh b'chinas panav acharai l'malo. That's amazingly enough. This is so beautiful. Hashem says to Moshe, sometimes you will see my back and you will not see my face. Remember again, this is in the aftermath of the golden calf. Right? So Hashem says to Moshe, you know, sometimes as a result of your behaviors, all you're going to see is my back. You're not even going to see my back. Maybe you'll feel my back, but you're not even going to see it. And sometimes you won't see my front-facing face. Okay, if that makes sense. Uksiv, Ya'er Hashem Panav Elecha. Look how beautiful this is. In Birchas Kohanim, what do we say? Ya'er Hashem Panav Elecha. Hashem should shine His countenance, His face onto you. I want that Kodesh Baruch Hu's face. That's what I want. Perush. And I'll say, this is incredible. This is why, again, there's so often this emphasis on panim apanim. Ya'er Hashem panav eilecha. I want Hashem's face. I don't want His back. I want to stand face to face. And the Rebbe says, page Kuf Samech Dalet, on the right hand side, he says, Kisha Adam chot chote negdo yisbarach. When ultimately a person sins against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu kiviyachol machzir es panav mimenu. Hashem turns away also. Right now, why does Hashem turn away? Because again, if I'm going to turn away, you know, say, it's important to understand. The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh says, we've quoted this many times. The Baal Shem Tov says, David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Hashem Tzilcha. So normally we translate Hashem Tzilcha as, Hashem is your shade. The Baal Shem Tov says, that's not what it means. Hashem Tzilcha means that Hashem is your shadow. What does a shadow do? A shadow does whatever you do. So the Baal Shem Tov says, our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is based on one core principle, reciprocity. Whatever you're willing to put in is what you're going to get out. That's the way it works. Hashem is my shadow. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're going to heavily invest in the relationship, I'll give you reciprocal investment. But if at the end of the day, you're not interested, if at the end of the day you're just going to get by and you're not interested in investing in the relationship, don't expect more from me if you're not willing to put into the relationship. So the Rebbe says over here something amazing. He says, therefore, when I sin and I turn away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Ribbono Shel Olam kiviyachol turns away from me. Not even out of anger, but just relationship reciprocity. That's how it works. You're not talking to me, you're turning away from me, I'll turn away from you. Perish. Gam lemal yish kiviyachol aras panim ubechinas orav acharayim. Kadosh Baruch Hu also has, again, forward facing and back facing. Kimosha Kasev Yaya Hashem Panav Elecha Ve'in Ha'aras Panim Delamalu Kimosha Adam Anosi Matanasa La'ava Mitoch Aras Panim Hamara Chefso Vechashka Apnimi La'aseis Matanas Zuli Ohavo. Good. Let's skip a little bit. Skip a little bit. Good. Go to the end of the left hand column. Kishem. That last paragraph right there. Kishem. She'inyan oref lamala eno geder shel siluk ela hashpa'a mitzad chitzonius haratzon. So therefore, when I sin and I turn away from Hashem, Hashem turns away from me. Does he leave me? No. And that is the great beauty of this relationship. Okay, we have a little bit of a falling out, but he's right here. He's literally right here. Kachu ba'avodas ha'adam lakono. Turn the page. She'ein. Hamadumar ba'adam. She'ein ha'makayim Torah mitzvos chasashon. El misha ozev Torah mitzvos. Ela she'isuko. Ein ha'makol panimiyos. So again, skip the next paragraph. V'hinei peir shakosov. Pano alai oref. She'nir maskan dover ve'ifucho. D'mechad gisa. Ha'kosov meyet she'ponim al Hashem. U'biyachad imzos in kan ela oref ala panim. So let me tell you the rest of this outside. And I will say, this is really, so actually just, I'm sorry, one more line. The end of the right-hand paragraph on page Kuf Samechei. V'atshuvahi hachzaras panim bepanim liyos pinimiyas resono v'chaveitzo b'taras Hashem u'mitzas u'v'simcha b'tuv lev murav kol. What's tshuva, Rabosai? Tshuva is that moment where you decide to stop giving your back to God. Tshuva is the moment where I make the decision, I'm turning back around to face my Father. I'm turning back around to reinvest in the relationship. I'm turning back around to reengage. That's the totality of tshuva. Sin puts me back to back with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But even in that moment of tremendous chet, the Ribono Shel Olam is still right here. He's literally, again, still right here. He's right by me. And tshuva, Rabosai, is that simple gesture of where I say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm tired of living back to back. I want to turn around and face you, panim al panim. And the moment we're willing to turn around to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Ribono Shel Olam is willing to turn back around to us as well. That's tshuva. A simple decision to turn around to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, the Shaila is, how do you turn around? So the Baal HaTanya happens to go on in some of the subsequent pieces, and he discusses this idea, Torah. Torah is a fundamental vehicle in getting us to turn around, which makes sense. Because by definition, I will say, what does Torah do? What does Torah do more than anything? I'm sorry? Teach, good, but on a deeper level, what does Torah do? It teaches, connects us. Right? That's what I say. You see this all the time. And I know, this, so you know, sometimes like heavily yeshiva educated people get offended by this statement. But the power of Torah is not in your ability to understand it. That's why even if you read a piece of Torah and you don't have any clue what it's saying, let's say for argument's sake, maybe you're learning Maseches Zvachim. Right? And perhaps, there are days you're like, what is going on over here? And you're like, oh my gosh, I'm wasting my time. No, you're not. Because every single word brings you closer to your Father. It's not about what you understand. You understand it, you don't understand it. It makes a difference, but it doesn't make a difference out here in the Shema. And the Baal Tanya says, every word you learn, the Gemara itself, like, it pushes you. It's like that hand against my shoulder, getting me to rotate, to face my Father. So the Baal HaTanya says, that's what Torah does. Torah pushes us to turn our back away from God and to face Him face to face. That's what tefillah does. And the truth is, it's whatever does it for you. Sometimes in life, it could also just be a conscious decision that I'm tired of living back to back with God. Why should I live back to back with God? I want to live face to face. I want to live panim al panim. And what does it require? All it requires is for me to once again begin to reinvest in the relationship. Unfortunately, as a result of my sinful behavior, I have turned my back on God. And when I turn my back on Him, He turns His back on me. Not because He doesn't love me, but Haraya, He's right here. He's right here. He never leaves. He's everywhere. He's right here. So tshuva is the process by which I make a conscious decision to turn back around to face my Father, whether it's through Torah, whether it's through tefillah, or whether it's just through an act of cognition. Now, I just want to show you something interesting. Jess, I'll take one more minute. I know it's late already. But I'll just show you something amazing. Because with this understanding, a piece that Rav Kook says, I think fits in very beautifully as well. Rav Kook writes, if you turn the page, this is the page that looks like this. So this is Oras HaTshuva. Says page 22 on top. So just to give you context, this is one of the last pieces we actually learned in Oras HaTshuva together. Rav Kook was speaking about different forms of tshuva, and he was speaking about this concept of tshuva pratis mifureshes. What's tshuva pratis mifureshes? Literally translated, specific, identifiable, or right, specifically defined tshuva, which essentially is classic tshuva. What do I mean by classic tshuva? I committed an avera. I don't know. Whatever your favorite avera, insert here, right? I committed an avera. Tshuva pratis mifureshes is the process through which I do tshuva for that particular avera. And depending on the avera, there are different types of tshuva for different types of averas. Okay. But Rav Kook on page 22 says something different. Look what he writes over here. We'll just read one line. He says, V'yeshna ot hagosha tshuva stamis klalis. There's another type of tshuva. What he calls stamit klalit, which is just a general, overarching tshuva. What does this mean? Ein chet o chatoim shel avar olim al libo. I'm not really thinking about, it's not really generated by sins or by negative things that I've done. Ava bichlal hu mar bigish bekirbo shumaduka ma'od shumale avon she'ein or Hashem meir alav. Ein ruach nedibo bekirbo libo atum midosav utchunos nafsho inon holchos bederach harishar varetzuya haruya lemalos chaim hagunim lenefesh Torah haskalasi gasa. So essentially, Rav Kook says as follows: sometimes it's just like this feeling inside of me that I'm underperforming. I'm just underperforming. It's not even about a specific avera. It's just this general feeling that my life is not as it should be. I don't know. And if you ask me, what is it? What's the problem? Of course, all of us know the things that we're doing wrong. But it's this more general feeling that just things aren't in the place they should be. They're not. They're just not right. I'm not right. I'm not where I want to be. Where does that feeling come from? I think that feeling comes from, of course, you know how, like, if you're in a very dark room or like, even like if you have your eyes closed, you could sit, like, I don't know what the scientific explanation of it is, but like, you could sense if there's another person next to you, right? This is like one of the occupational hazards I have of being a candy man in shul. Like, I could be like in the midst of the most beautiful Shemona Esrei, but I hear that there's a little kid, like, coming, not just the pitter-patter, but, like, you feel it. They're, like, they're very respectful. They'll just wait there, like looking, you know. But I don't know. I'm sure there's a physiological explanation for whatever it is. But Lamaisa, in the Ruchni sense, also, like, sometimes I sense the fact that I'm back-to-back with God. I sense it. And then I realize, why? Why am I living my life like that? Why am I living back to back when I could be face to face? And it's not even about a particular avera, right? It's not about a particular sin. It's not about, oh, I need to stop doing this or start doing that. It's something so much deeper and so much more comprehensive. Just, I don't want to be living back to back. I want to be living face to face. Rav Kook says, there is a specific type of tshuva that he calls mifurashis pratis, a specific type of tshuva that is identifiable, that is specific to address a particular sin and has a particular approach. And then there's just general tshuva that I think just comes from this feeling of, I know God's there. I know we're standing back to back, but I feel Him in close proximity, but I don't want to live like this. I want to live face to face. And that tshuva is that moment where I say, you know what, enough. Enough, enough, enough. Why am I doing this to myself? Why am I doing this to my God? Life could be so much better. Life could be so much sweeter. Life could be so much more beautiful if I just live upon him, face to face with my Father. And tshuva is that process where I find the courage to simply turn myself around. And by the way, the Baal HaTanya says later on, this is the pshat in the first Avinu Malkinu that we say responsibly together. Avinu Malkinu, Hachzireinu b'tshuva shleima lefanecha. What am I saying, Hashem? I want to look at you. I don't want to live back to back. Because otherwise it doesn't make any sense. You can't ask Hashem to help you do tshuva because tshuva is up to you, right? Everything is up to you except for your, everything is in the hands of God except my spiritual life. So I'm asking God for, help me do tshuva. Shkoyach, you do tshuva, Hashem Baruch Hu says. You know what I'm asking for? I'm asking for...
permission to your ishtadus.
Correct. Allow me just to turn back and face you. I know that I've had my back towards you for a long time. I'm ready to turn back towards you. And one thing I hope. You know what it's like? You know how even in a relationship, the Rambam says you could learn a lot about a relationship between a Kaddish Baruch from the relationship between a man and a woman, right? So let's say a man musters up the courage to tell a woman, let's say he's dating his wife, or he's, I don't know, dating is different today, but in the good old days, right? So you muster up the courage and you say to the woman who you want to marry, I love you, right? So after you say those words, you only want to hear one thing, and that is,
I love you too.
I love you too, right? And a little bit like you're holding your breath, like, because you can get, you might get a, thank you. thank you. Okay. You know, what is that?
Oh, that's nice.
That's nice. I'm so happy you feel that way. You know. So all I want to know is that I'm going to put myself out there and tell you how I feel about it. I'm going to make myself vulnerable. I just want you to reciprocate. I'm ready to turn around. And all I want to know is that when I turn around, I'm going to see you looking right back at me. Because the worst thing for me would be to turn around and you still have your back towards me. I'll find the courage to be a Baal Tshuva. I'll find the courage to turn myself around. But just promise me that when I do it, you'll be there smiling at me. And of course, what does the Kaddish Baruch Hu say? Shefala, Tatala, I never left you. I'm never the one who left. I got tired of being ignored. So after you leave, after you turn your back on me, okay. I also have to, so to speak, protect myself a little bit. So I'll turn my back to you also a little bit. But I love you. I never left. I've been standing right by you this entire time. So if you begin to turn around to me, of course, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll be there with a smiling, holy, and beaming countenance. And I was saying, that's a Seder Mitzvah. That's Yom Kippur. It's really not about all the sin. It's really not. It's just about the courage to start turning back around to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the knowledge that if we say I love you to Him, He always says I love you back. And if we turn facing Him, He will be facing us first. We should be Zotem Mirat Hashem to use the Aseres Mitzvah, the remaining Aseres Mitzvah, to use Yom Kippur and Mirat Hashem. Yeah, we have to apologize, and we definitely have to make amends for all the things we've done wrong. And there's no question, we do have to do tshuva for specific averus as well. But at the end of the day, the ikkar of what we are supposed to accomplish is stop living with my back towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu and find the courage, the beautiful courage, to lift Panim upon Him. Right, well, so stop by for tonight. Shkoyach, everyone. Shkoyach.